Hello, everyone. It's awesome to see you all here. I'm Annie Notary. I'm the Women's Ministry Coordinator here at New Life Drescher. I am paid staff, but just to let you know, I'm only 15 hours a week, and I usually only work Monday through Thursday. So the best way to reach me is email. And that is there. And we are also still looking for coffee volunteers and tech team volunteers. So know that as well. But I also wanted to introduce Pam Baird. So Pam, go ahead and stand. Where is she? Where's Pam? Oh, is she still on the hall? She might still be out in the hall. Yeah. All right. Well, when Pam comes in, we'll introduce her. And Chrissy Glowacki, the three of us make up the Women's Bible Study admin team. Chrissy attends on Tuesday nights. And yeah, okay, there she is. There's Pam. And so we really do work as a team. So feel free to reach out to any of us and we will get you set up and answer any questions you have, because we, all three of us, just really love this Bible study and want to see it flourish. So, all right. So now my goal is to give you an introduction to the Bible study and, you know, what it is that we do here, why we're here. And hopefully sort of orient you to our process. Okay, so we really are a Bible study. Like, we actually are here to just study God's Word. and we believe that God's Word is life and truth and infallible. And our goal here is to let God speak to us through His Word, not filtering God's Word through our preconceived ideas or our human ideals. We want to come to the Word first and interpret our life through the Word. And for some of you, that may be totally new, and that is okay, and I'm super glad that you're here. And feel free to reach out to me at any point if you have questions, if you don't understand, even questions just about the Bible itself. I will do my best to get your questions answered or point you to some good resources. So our mission statement here at New Life Drescher is to know Jesus and to make him known. And in the Great Commission, which Christ gave at sort of the end to his disciples, Jesus commands his followers to make disciples, to teaching them to know and obey all I have commanded you. So if we are going to know Christ, we have to know what he taught. We have to know his word. Unfortunately, you know, even I think in a lot of churches, there's just really this growing biblical illiteracy. People don't actually know what is written in the Bible. So you are here combating that illiteracy. So I'm so proud of you. you know, it's hard to spend time, you know, actually reading his word and not grow in your understanding of it. So proud of you for me being here. And the beautiful thing, I think, about God's message in Scripture is that it meets us wherever we are in our life circumstances, whatever places, you know, we are hurting, we are struggling. The Holy Spirit helped the human authors to write the Word, and the Holy Spirit helps us as studiers to understand it and to apply it. So we really do encourage you to pray each time before you sit down with your study ahead of time, and ask the Lord to show you, you know, what it is that he wants you to learn. All right, I'm going to try something a little new this year. I give this same spiel every year for those of you who are new, and I'm tired of just being a talking head. So I have some delicious chocolate. These are my favorite. Bouchard. It's Belgian dark chocolate. So I am hoping for a couple people to help teach us all why we're here. So we have sort of three legs of a stool, three components to this study. Does somebody want to tell me what one of them is? It's a hint. They're all in our booklet. There's space for all of them in our booklet. Yes. Yeah, that, okay, I'm thinking, yes, that is one of the pieces, is observation. And we'll get into that in the inductive Bible study. I'm thinking more broadly, like, what's the sort of order that we march through? Yeah.
Fellowship.
Yes, and we do that in a small group time. So I will talk about that in a minute. And what other times do we have on a Wednesday morning together? Sorry, I should give you your chocolate, Kim. Yes. Prayer, yes. And that happens in the fellowship, in the small group time as well. Okay, what else? Teaching, yes. So teaching is a big part. Whoops, sorry, Tracy. I'm not a good thrower. Teaching is a part of our morning. And you will have a different teacher each week, which I think is really awesome. And the teachers are all just lay women from our church. It's none of us are like professionally trained or anything like that. So we're just all women who love God's word and who have spent time studying it and are bringing to you what we have learned. And there's one really important one that you should start with every week. No. Well, yes, start with prayer. But like after you pray, what do you do? Yes, and answer the questions. Who said that? yes, so the questions are a big part of what we do each morning. And I really want to emphasize these because I really want you to do them ahead of time. So your amazingly gorgeous study book is, it's laid out where you have the passage just written out for you. So it's like, this is a one-stop shop. You've got the passage to read, and we're hoping that you will spend that time reading the passage and then answering these questions. And there are a few changes to our questions this year. So the first one will often be a summarized question. And really the point of this is we want you to actually spend time in the text before you come on Wednesday mornings. So you spend that time, you think about it, you're like, okay, well, in my words, this is what I think this passage is about. And then there will be some other specific questions as well. And then the other thing that we have been intentional about is there's often a question that points you or encourages you to share this with somebody else, share what you've learned. So this is, we would love for this to build community, for you to build deeper friendships, you know, outside of that small group time. So you can take time during your week. Later, you can text somebody, you can talk to a friend and share what God has been teaching you, what you've learned through the study. And then the third thing is, I'm going to find this. So in the beginning, there is a section. So last year we had the well. This year we have the tabernacle. So this is in the beginning of your booklet, and this is a place for you to write what you're learning about God and his character and what he reveals about himself. And you will see some of the questions have a little T next to them to encourage you to write things here. And I would say use this as a place to just kind of put down all the things that, you know, you've learned each week. Okay, God is teaching me this about himself. You know, God is showing me his faithfulness or his redemptive love. And then at the end, when we have sharing time, you'll have this place where you can go to remember all the different things that you've learned throughout the year. So I just want to encourage you to use the tabernacle. Okay, and the other thing that I want to say about the questions is the reason that I'm harping on this so much is not that I want you to like get the right answer. It's not a graded quiz. This is not what it's about. It's just that I know that you will grow the most if you spend the time yourself in the Word. So this is why I'm pushing this. And Jen Wilkins says it this way. She says, learning is not a spectator sport. You actually got to get on the field and play. So if you want to learn and grow spiritually, you have to put in the time and effort ahead of time yourself. So if that means, you know, setting a timer on Tuesday nights to, you know, remind yourself, oh, I should do my study, you know, whatever it is, you know, you grab that time during nap time, you know, it doesn't have to be hours, you know, it can be 10 minutes of just sitting and reading the word and answering the questions. But the more you do it, you know, yourself, you'll be actually eating your own food instead of like just the baby bird with the like regurgitated of somebody else's food. So, okay. And then let's see, did I cover that? All right. Anything else, that I say every year is Should you expect your small group leader to know the answer to all the questions? No, you shouldn't. They're learning right alongside with you. There's not like an answer key or something. So, and for them to say, I don't know, is totally an acceptable answer. So, and, you know, oftentimes we, you know, we have a commentary, we have other resources, but don't expect, you know, we're all kind of growing together in our knowledge of the Lord. And for me, this is a beautiful thing because I love that I worship a God whose ways are higher than mine, who is more complex than I am, who, you know, I don't want to fully know and understand everything about him because then he would just be me. So, but he's not. And so that's really awesome. The teaching time, it's usually a 25-minute talk. And, you know, we're really just have an embarrassment of riches at our churches, Ron. Lutz used to always say, just so many different women, and you get, you know, how their study of scripture impact their life and their viewpoint. So I think it's a real blessing. Let me see. Your small group time. Okay. Any thoughts about the small group time that you can remember? What are some of the boundaries, let's say, of the small group time?
Don't gossip.
Yes. No gossiping, no sharing. And we do want this to be a safe place for everybody. So we do keep things confidential within the group. And is your small group leader a professional counselor? No, they're not. So they are not going to be able to solve all your problems. But they, you know, as together as a group, we're hoping that you point each other to Christ and that he meets you in the midst of your life circumstances. And we do hope it's a place that you meet new people, that you grow friendships, that you connect with one another. Okay, so now the tricky part for us on Wednesday mornings is that we do have childcare. And as we've seen this morning, it really, really, really helps if you can actually just be there on your week. Because, yeah, we run into things like this morning where two people who had, you know, just had to go down. So we ask that you show up for your week. It's already written. You can do it ahead. Every once in a while, we will get off in the winter from a snow day, and you'll get bumped back a week. So block out, you know, 2 weeks after January if you need to. But what we ask is that if for some reason you're sick or whatever, you miss your week, that you then will be asked to fill in later. So just know that you may be asked to do that. Okay, and we also have, you know, we really try and start the talk at 9:30, and then we have small group time, and then the small groups, I told the small group leader, set an alarm for 11:03, and when that alarm goes off, then the moms need to go down and get their kids, because the kids just have a limit down there, and so I know it's super awkward, but even if you just need to leave in the middle of a prayer time or whatever, we kind of just know that, yeah, they got to slip out. Okay, so I'm going to talk about attendance now. And there are a number of things I say every year about attendance. Anybody want to take a stab at those?
Just see. You
should attend. Yes, you should attend. What are some ways that you can make sure that you get here? Yes.
Yeah. You should be responsible for the content that you missed.
Yes. I will get to that in a second. But yes. But what are ways, like, how do you make sure that you're here? Yes. Go ahead, Amanda.
Allison said that you should make it the big rock.
Yes, the big rock. Yes. All right. Okay. Allison gets one. And you, yeah. 100%. 100%. Both good dogs. Yes. Okay, the big rock. Okay, so don't worry, I'll explain it. You make it the big rock, okay? So this is an analogy. If you have a jar and you have a pile of small pebbles and you have three larger rocks, if you put the pebbles in the jar first, you cannot fit all three rocks. If you put the three rocks in first, the big rocks, then you can shake and shimmy the pebbles around it. Okay, so if you make women's Bible study your big rock and put that in first before your hair appointments and your, you know, your doctor's visits, you schedule them around this time. This is your sacred time that you've marked out. Then you will be able to fit all of life in around it. Okay, so that's my analogy that I do say every year. So good job. But yeah, and again, the reason that I want you to make it a big rock and to make it a priority is because I really think it's for your spiritual growth and well-being and for your small group as well. Like, they miss you when you're not here, and the group dynamic changes when you're not here. So I just want you all to experience this in the best way possible. So this is not like a guilt thing, or, you know, I don't want to make it like a legalistic thing, but I want what's best for you all. Just a mom. Okay, but if there are days when you can't get here, and we know that that happens, you know, there's the one day where, like, my kid just dumped Cheerios all, like, the whole box all over the floor, and then somebody had a diaper on the way out, and, you know, there's these things that make it challenging. So when that happens, what you should do is, like Christine said, watch the talks online. Be prepared for the next week. You can watch the video if the video actually works. So that would be amazing. And then, or you can actually listen to it on a podcast and listen to, I like to do it like when I'm doing the dishes, I'll put on a talk if I'm down in childcare and listen to it that way. So we have this awesome technology, so use it and don't get discouraged and don't quit on us. Text somebody, text your small group leader. You know, if you're having one of those mornings where you're just feeling overwhelmed, you're like, I just need to stay home and clean my house. Just text somebody and say, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And they can be like, no, you need to get to Bible study. You'll feel better after you do Bible study. So, you know, use each other, use community. And I do also want to say we are here studying the living word of God. And it's this is, you know, we have an enemy who doesn't want us doing that, doesn't want us to grow and flourish in the Lord. So that's why I think it's also helpful to text somebody, because they can pray for you. Like, we can be your spiritual shields for each other that way too. So I just wanted to mention that. Okay. So yeah, I really hope this year, as we study Exodus, you will see we serve a God who is both holy and who redeems broken people, and who seeks relationships with us, a relationship with us. And so I really do pray and hope that you will experience him more deeply this year. Now I'm going to shift gears. We are going to go through this handout, this inductive Bible study method handout. And I normally actually put this passage in my intro talk, but I wanted you to have it, because why are we even here studying the Bible? And one of the reasons is from 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I added the woman. It says man, which just means all human beings. So since we're women, I put it that way. Yeah, this is why we're here. This is a beautiful, it's living, it's active. We have this tool that God has given us to grow us in him and to be complete in him, to grow our faith, to be matured. So I'm going to go through, there's, you know, many ways to study the Bible, and we're going to go through the inductive process. So I just want to contrast it with a deductive process. So a deductive method begins with some premise, some preconceived idea, and then it moves to like proofs of that or specifics of that. So you come to the text with an idea, you know, I think God is love. Okay, let me look through scripture and see if that's true. So whereas the inductive process, which we're going to go through this morning, begins with the specific facts. It begins with the observation that Rachel said, and we move to conclusions based on those observations. So based on what we see in the text. And there are lots of other methods as well. And I don't want you to think, like, this is the only way to study the Bible. This is another tool for your tool belt. This is another way to help you go a little deeper. And this is actually the way that we encourage our speakers to prepare each week. So they hopefully have spent time in the Word themselves, really seeking and seeing what the text says before they move to conclusions about what the specific applications are for them. So, and Sarah was telling me this is what Anthony does for most of his sermons as well. So you have a chance to do that yourself instead of just kind of gleaning, you know, receiving the fruit that they've already, you know, done all the work, you know, tilling the soil and planting the seed, and it's a harvest. You just are taking the fruit when you're from the sermon and the talk. You have a chance to, like, really do the work and see the fruit grow for yourself. So that is what we are going to do together this morning. And like we did say earlier, prayer is the first step. I don't want to minimize that. I do think it's really important. And this passage from John 14:26 kind of reminds us why it's important. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And that's Christ talking. So we have the Holy Spirit, and we want to acknowledge him and humbly come before him each time that we approach the text and say, I don't know all I need to know, but you do, and I want you to show me and remind me and teach me. So that is very important, and I don't want to, yeah, I would say really make sure you do that every time before you sit down and read. So then the next three steps are observation, interpretation, and application. So observation is basically, what does it say? You know, what does this text actually say? And that, you need that to get accurate interpretation and correct application. So this, it really is the first step. You have to have that foundation, and then you build the other two on top of it. So then the observation steps are pretty straightforward. You read the passage, try and get the main theme from it, which is why we have that summary question in there. We want you to think about the main theme as you're reading it. Hopefully, you know, you have time to reread it a couple times, really think through it. You can look at different translations online. You can get, like, almost any translation. It's kind of amazing, just with a click of a button. And then you want to go to what's before, what's after the passage. Looking, we don't want to just pull stuff out of context. I love Anthony, 2 weeks ago or something in his sermon, talked about how Christians can do that. You know, I can do all things for Christ. Like, that doesn't mean you're going to win a marathon. Like, that's not what that passage means. You know, you can't just pull it out and slap it on things. You have to look at it in the context of it. And in this case, it's I can endure suffering because of Christ being with me. So we just want to make sure that we have the full context when we're looking at the passage. And then other just really good questions asked. Who's involved? What's happening? When is this taking place? Where does it take place? What's the geography? And then this is what we're going to do now together, this number six. This is a place where you can really mark it up, you know, and you have it written out in your booklet. You have those little places on the sidelines to write questions. I don't know what this means. What's this about? Who is this referring to? So you're looking for repeated words and phrases. You're looking for linking words. You're looking for contrast. You're looking for a cause and effect, nouns and pronouns. You know, in our passage today, one of the things I would encourage you to do is when you're marking it up, highlight both Christ and all the pronouns that refer to him, because you'll see a different picture if you really are looking at all those things. And then you want to think about, you know, just logical sequences, figurative expressions, things you don't understand. So we are just going to go ahead and do this now. I'm going to give you all a few minutes, and you can go through your passage on Luke 9 and just mark it up. And there's just feel free. Feel a lot of freedom. Use what colors you want. Use what symbols you want. If you want to draw things around it, you know, if you want to underline, if you want to circle. So do what makes sense to you. All right. I love all this, like, happy little, you know, marking and scritching of the pencils and highlighters. This is so great. But just for the sake of time, we're going to cut us off. I know you could probably keep going for a lot longer. But, yeah, okay, so what did you see? What words were repeated? Just yell it out. Just yell out some words that you saw repeated.
Cloud.
Cloud, yep.
Glory.
Pray. What about the who's? Who is here? Yes, he is here. But who does the he refer to?
Jesus.
Yes, right. We see a lot of Jesus. Who else? Moses and Elijah, right? Yeah, two key factors. And Peter, James, and John. Yes, exactly. So, and those are, so this is where you start noticing things. And you then in the next step, we're going to ask questions. Why were they there? Why is it Moses and Elijah? Things like that. But yeah, and I just wanted to show you, this is how I did it, which, you know, it's, there's not like a right way to do it. Oh gosh. Okay. So nice when it actually does what you want to do. But one thing I want to point out to you is that I highlighted these sayings and put an arrow because you got to go back. Right? And look at the context of what it's in. And Anthony, one of the reasons I chose this passage, somebody pointed it out to me and I was like, oh, this is so good because A, it talks about Moses. B, it's short enough I can fit it on one page. And C, it's, you know, Anthony sort of gave us this explanation of it a couple weeks ago. So when it says these sayings, you go back to the verses before it, and it's actually Christ talking about his death and the fact that he needs to go to the cross.
And the word now, the very first word.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to know the context and look back.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
Now, yep. Okay, well, what
preceded that? Yes, exactly. Good point. Yeah, exactly. Now is it indicative of, like, okay, wait, what happened before now? And then I just, you know, all the numbers I sort of highlighted, and the glory I just did the different, you know, you can make up these symbols and do them that way. And that's what I wanted to show you, that this is linked in your booklet. So this QR code or this link that you can type in will take you to this. So this is somebody's ideas of they made just different symbols for words that come up often in Exodus. So as you go through Exodus, you can have, okay, I'm going to draw, you know, a little house for sanctuary. Or I'm going to draw this little bowl for manna. You know, so it's just a way to do it. You can make up your own symbols. You can do it how you want. You can draw a little lamb for lamb, Pharaoh's heart. So these are just ideas that somebody had, but I wanted to let you know that that resource is available for you here. Okay. So then the next step, after you've spent time, you know, really looking at the text and marking it up and thinking it through, the next step is interpretation. And this is the place where you want to say, okay, why, you know, who are these key figures? Why are they here? What seems to be motivating them? Is there anything important in the timing or the geography? Right, they're on a mountain. Is that important? Why? You know, what did it mean to the original hearers in their context? You know, for these Jewish readers of Luke, the fact that it was Moses and Elijah meant something to them, right? That meant the law and the prophets. That meant that Christ was fulfilling that. So, you know, we have to kind of put ourselves back in those places to understand that. And I wanted to say at this point, it's really helpful to have a study Bible or a commentary. This is the place where you can go back and use other resources, you know, outside of the text itself to understand things better. And then the final step is application. And I love this. I think this is so important because studying the Bible is not meant to be just informational. It's meant to be transformational. It's meant to change our hearts to be more like Christ. And so this is the place where we really want to ask that question of, okay, what does this mean for me? Like personally, in my circumstances, where I am, you know, where I'm struggling, where I'm seeking to grow, where I can encourage somebody else. So this is the place to really ask yourself these questions that are written here. Is there a command to obey? Is there a sin to confess? Is there an example to follow? A promise to claim? Is there a change in thought or behavior to make? Is there truth about God to believe in, to rejoice in? How does this truth relate to your profession, your calling, your role in life? What does it say about your relationships? What does it say about your involvement in church, in the greater society and community with where you are? So these are the ways you really just want to kind of sit before the Lord and say, okay, how just show me where you want me to learn and grow from this. And then I think this next piece is so key, is the making specific plans. This is where I struggle sometimes, is the follow through, right? I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, Lord. And then zoom on about the rest of my day instead of saying, oh, okay, maybe I really should text that friend to encourage them right now. Or maybe I am going to, you know, block out this time for myself every, you know, afternoon to really sit with the Lord. You know, whatever it is, wherever he's pressing in on you, to actually take that action step and follow through. And to physically write it down, like where there's so much data now on how that actually really helps your brain to follow through. So I would just encourage you to do that. And yeah, and then even maybe if you want to text a friend and say, hey, I feel like God's calling me to do this. Can you ask me next week if I've done it? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to be the body to one another, and we're here to encourage each other and hold each other accountable. So, yeah, this is the process. This is a tool for you. I just wanted to give you a little bit of time to really walk through it. And, you know, in the end, obviously, you want to just thank the Lord for that time with him and pray. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then I will send you to your small groups. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us your word that is living and active and useful for training and teaching and helping us to grow in our knowledge of you and in our relationship with you and with one another. And Lord, I do just pray that you would use this study this year profoundly in each one of our lives, that you would help us to grow just so deeply in our love for you and in our understanding of you. Lord, I do pray that this would be a tool that would be useful for women, that it wouldn't be intimidating or something they feel like it is a weight or a burden for them, but that it is just a gift and a tool to use to understand you better. Lord, I do pray that our small group time would honor you and you would slowly and consistently knit us together into gospel community. Thanks in your name. Amen.